So I'll ask that you give our brother Dwayne. He and I spoke a little bit last week concerning the ordination last week, and then again this week. I was like, "Well, your time might be shrunk a little bit." And he was like, "That's fine." So, but I know he does have a message for us, and I'd ask you to give him your careful and prayerful attention. Dwayne.
Thank you, Andy. It is good to be with you. It's always good to be here amongst the saints, those that have a desire to serve our Lord. Last week, our brother Andy said that, this week I might need a Reader's Digest version of my sermon, a shortened sermon. Last week, the ordination service lasted a lot longer than it did tonight. And, there was a time in my life when I would have welcomed not talking very long. I remember years ago that I took a speech class. And it was really because of work. I was moving from a shop and field job into an office job. And I knew that there would be times when I would have to speak in public. And I had actually taken a speech class probably 10 years before that in college, but it didn't seem to work. And I was still scared to death to speak in public. So I took this speech class. And it was through the Maricopa County Community College system, and it was in a classroom that is upstairs at Paradise Valley Mall. And in this class, we came in there the first night, and the lady, she gave us the syllabus and told us what we'd be doing in that class. And she told us that we'd have to give a speech every week. And of course, that didn't sound good to start with. And we'd have to give a 3-minute speech. And I had no idea how I was ever going to give a 3-minute speech. And she told us all this stuff. And she said that after each speech, that the whole class would critique that speech. We all had note cards, and each person would fill out a note card and critique your speech, and you'd do that for them. And there was a couple of girls in the back of the class. And you know the type I'm talking about, the kind that are kind of like this and kind of shy. And they were in that class the same reason I was. They were trying to get comfortable with talking in public. And they were huddled up back there. And I wasn't physically huddled up back there with them, but I was definitely mentally huddled up with them back there because I was scared to death too. And this instructor on that first night, she tried to get it into our heads. Don't be afraid. Come back the next week. You can do it, And, I didn't want to go back that next week. And those two girls weren't back next week. They weren't back. But I came back. And I got through that class. I passed that class. One thing that I got in trouble for during my speeches is they were, some of them were too short. I couldn't get 3 minutes. And now I'm going to talk for 3 minutes about talking for 3 minutes. But that instructor, she was the best instructor I ever had in my life. And you know why she was the best? Because she cared. She cared about everyone in that class. She cared about me. She cared about those two girls in the back of the class. She tried that first night, time after time, to encourage us. come back. You can do it. She cared. You know, it seems like now I usually have a lot to say during a sermon. But you'll be happy to know that tonight I have shortened that sermon. I'm going to give you a Reader's Digest version. And you can be happy tonight because this is not going to happen very often. In fact, it may never happen again. And you know, the thoughts that I have tonight, they're all tied to the events that have occurred this last week. We had five ministers that were ordained in this last week. Our sister Marlene passed away during this last week. And you know, even as our sister was passing from this life, the Lord was preparing, calling more ministry for the work to continue. Our sister Marlene had done her work. She had done her work. But the Lord was preparing for the future. The scriptures I have tonight, they speak to the new ministers that were ordained. They are an example of how our sister Marlene lived her life. And they tell us how we are to live our lives. And I have a few scriptures that I'm going to go over tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time. And I have a few comments of each one. The first one is in Matthew chapter 28. And verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto Christ. He is all powerful, worthy to be worshipped. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ called his ministry, as we have seen with these five brothers that were ordained. They were called out of the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were sent forth to preach and teach, baptizing those that believe, preaching repentance, and that we must keep the commandments that he has given unto us. They were given that authority. They were given that authority from Jesus Christ to go forth. Go forth and preach the gospel, to keep the commandments. We're all to keep the commandments. That is what the Lord has instructed us to do. Each one of us. I know that our sister Marlene, she kept the commandments. She was mindful of them. And it says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord is with us. He will always be there with us if we come unto him and follow after him. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord. This is our time. This is our time to seek the Lord. He is there. He has promised to always be there with us. But we must come unto him. He is there, waiting for each one. Great promises he has for those that are willing to serve him and to follow after him. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 37 and 38. Then saith ye unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We've been commanded to pray about this, to pray for the calling of ministry, to pray for more laborers. Those prayers have been answered recently with the five that were called. You know, our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, there's no ministry there now, but they have a desire that men would be called. And as we traveled there on this last trip, they're meeting together, fasting and praying that the Lord will call ministry. And they asked us to add our prayers to theirs. And I sent out an email on a CCEG requesting that. Very important. In these countries that have no ministry, you can imagine how difficult it is for them. And you can see how blessed we are. They have so many ministry in this congregation. But I know they're all needed. Every one of them. Every one is important and needed. And the Lord has a work for each one of them. And I think this scripture is primarily talking about calling of ministry. But it talks about the laborers. Each one of us is a laborer. Each one. Whether you're a man or a woman, you each have a work to do. We know that our sister Marlene labored, didn't she? All these testimonies that were read this morning about her labors in Mexico and Honduras, and the words we heard from the congregation. She had been laboring. She had touched the hearts of many. A very valuable work. I know when we go to Africa and we go to India, they're always asking us, when are your wives coming? It's important. They have an important work. They love for our wives to come, to be able to fellowship with them. They love them dearly. And they can do a great work. But we don't have to travel to a foreign country to do our labor, do we? The Lord has labor for us to do wherever we're at, every day of our life. The Lord has something for us to do. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I've read this scripture from time to time in my sermons. Actually, it's one of my favorite scriptures. And I've read, and I'm sure it's familiar to each one of you, Isaiah 41:10. But I'm also going to read verse 13 this time. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. A great promise from God, isn't it? A wonderful promise. But I would guess most of us have fears from time to time. Even though the Lord has promised us, He's promised us you don't need to fear because He will be there. He says, I am with thee. He is with us. He is with us today. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That all-powerful God, He is there for us. He says, I will strengthen thee. When we are weak, He will be there to uplift us and strengthen us. I will help thee in whatever we need help in. Spiritual, temporal, physical. He will help us. He has promised to do that. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But I like what verse 13 says. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. That kind of goes one step farther, doesn't it? That He will hold our hand. And how important that is. You know, when we have a little child and we're in a big crowd and there's people that they don't know, what do they want? They want to hold mom or dad's hand, don't they? They want to reach up and hold that hand and they feel safe and they feel comfortable because mom or dad is there to protect them. That's what the Lord is trying to tell us. We are His children. All we have to do is hold up our hand to Him, and He will hold it. He will hold it. He will be there with us in the crowd. He will be there with us in the temptations, the trials, the problems. He will be holding our hand if we allow Him. If we put our complete faith and trust in Him, He has promised us, fear not. For He is there. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What a wonderful promise that is for each one of us. Those that mourn today, each one of us. But I know the family. It's a great loss to them because our sister is not here among them. Even though they have that joy in their heart to know that she is with the Lord. But the Lord is holding your hand today. He is holding your hand. He is comforting you. He is giving you that strength. That strength that the world can't give you. Only through our Lord can we receive this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And you know, this is something that the world can't understand, can it? But it can be accomplished through the power of prayer by putting our complete faith and trust in our Lord, by holding out our hand to Him, knowing that He will strengthen us, that He will bless us. And it talks about the peace of God. This peace of God which passeth all understanding. This peace that comes through the Holy Spirit. That knowledge that the Lord is near to us. And He has that great love for each one of us. That peace can come into our hearts. We know that our sister Marlene is at peace now. Complete peace. We can have peace on this earth, but not that complete peace that she has now. That peace that she has with being with our Lord. But the Lord can give us that peace in our heart. If we diligently pray to Him and we seek Him always. We know that He is all powerful. We know that there's nothing that He can't do. And we know that He can help us through all of our trials and tribulations. He can help us through all of our problems. He's promised to always be there with us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we all have a race in this life. And we know this is not talking about a physical race where we run the 100-yard dash. It's talking about a spiritual race. Each one of us has a race. And each one of us has a little bit different race. Each one of us will have different trials and tribulations, different duties. The ministry that we're called and ordained in these last 2 weeks. They have a race. And their race has now been changed a little bit. The Lord has a little different direction for them to go. He has more duties for them to do. I know how in my life, when I was called into the ministry, how my life changed. There were different things I had to do, different responsibilities that I had. But we all have a race. And we know that our sister Marlene, her race the last few years was difficult, wasn't it? The things she had to endure, the pain and suffering of the physical body. But as we heard this morning, she endured that race without complaining. She remained faithful. She didn't say, "Why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me?" She ran that race. And she finished that race. And she was victorious. She was victorious. She crossed that finish line. And that's what each one of us must do. We must look in our lives. We must see what is ahead of us. We must see what we must do. What we must do to complete that race. The race that the Lord has for us. Not the race that the world has. You know, for most people, the race in their life is to become famous, popular, rich. That's the race of the world. But that's not the race it's talking about here. It's that spiritual race. We must look to the Lord. Ask what He has for us to do. What must we do in our lives? And do what He asks us to do. So we can complete that race. So that we can be victorious. Third Nephi. Chapter 7. And verses 10 and 11. It's on page 644. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments. We have the commandments before us, don't we? We have them in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. We are told the things that we are supposed to do. And we are warned about the things that we are not supposed to do. All commandments from our Lord. He has given them unto us. Keep the commandments. And if we do, and if we endure to the end, says, I will give thee eternal life. And I know that's the desire of each one of our hearts. That we would be able to have that eternal life. To spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. But we can never be weary. We can never give up. We can never be discouraged. We must press forward. We must finish that race. We must spend all the days of our life serving our Lord. That must be the most important thing. Put Christ first in everything, above everything else. And the Lord will bless us. He will always be there with us. He will be holding our hand. He will be leading us through the crowd, through the trials, the tribulations, temptations. He will lead us through. Revelation, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. the words of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, the Lord is standing at the door for everyone. For everyone in the world. All 7 billion people, or however many there are today. He is at the door for everyone. He's standing at the door. He said, "I stand at the door and knock." But we have to hear His voice and open the door. And He will be there. He will come in. He says He will sup with us. He will be with us. Verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." We know that Jesus Christ overcame this world, didn't he? He was without sin. And he sat down in the throne with his Father. And if we overcome, we will sit down in the throne with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that our sister Marlene has overcome this world. She overcame it. She remained righteous to the end. And I know that she is sitting with our Lord in his throne right now. She is dwelling with him. I know that our sister, she was a virtuous woman. She was a good example. And she made a difference in the world. By the testimonies today that we heard this morning, it's obvious she made a difference in the world. And we can't underestimate her importance to the Lord. You know, to the world, our sister Marlene was an insignificant person. Most people had never heard of her. Never heard of her. But here she was in her little portion of the world, serving the Lord to the best of her ability, doing the Lord's will. She made a difference. And just like that speech teacher I talked about, our sister Marlene cared, didn't she? She cared about everyone. And we heard today when someone mentioned about her talking to someone face to face. And for that moment, they were the most important person in the world. She cared about them, didn't she? And I can assure you, she was so important to the Lord. One of his children, one of his servants. And he had that great love for her. And I know that he took her home to be with him, to have that peace and joy. To not suffer those afflictions of the body anymore. She ran that race. She was victorious. We need to follow her example. Make a difference in the world. Whatever it is. Look for ways to serve the Lord. So that we can be victorious. So that we can overcome the world. So that someday that we can sit down in that throne with our Lord and Master. That's all I have tonight. I thank you for your time. I pray that the Lord will be with each one of us in our lives, that we'll always have that desire to serve Him and to follow Him.